I just want to know, has this ever happened to you? You are sitting on the couch and television show comes on and you have a little time to kill and you think, well, I'll just sit here and I'll watch this show. And you're watching the show, you're getting into the show and the program's going along. Maybe it's an hour long show and the program's going along, you're enjoying it. And then you realize it's about 15 till the end of the hour and you think, there's a lot of things still to tie up in this show. I guess they're going to do it kind of quickly. And then it gets to be about 5 till, and you think, how are they going to resolve all this? What's happening? And then those three words come across the screen, to be continued. And you think, oh, I just spent all this time watching this show that I'm probably not going to be able to watch the next part of, and I have no idea how it's going to end, you know, or anything like that. And so, to be continued. It is said that Charles Dickens, in 1836, kind of gave birth to this idea of a series being continued. Of course, that was written and not on television. But with the publication of the Pickwick Papers, it was kind of a serial deal where week by week, or installment by installment, a story would continue. And the practice became quite popular with him. And so in 1841, he continued it with his serial that eventually became a book called The Old Curiosity Shop. And people became so enamored and so involved in that, it is said that as that series was going along, and he would break it sometimes at a very pivotal point to where you just couldn't wait to read the next installment, that there were people who were big fans of Dickens and big fans of the Old Curiosity Shop installments, that they stood on the dock in New York City as the ship came in. You remember, they couldn't send it by the internet in 1841. But as the ship came in, bringing the papers that would have the next installment, that people stood on the dock, and as the ship pulled up and was docking, they yelled out, "Is Nell dead?" Because they wanted to know, what's the answer? You know, it was to be continued at this point, that we don't know what's going to happen. You know, there are many things in the Scriptures that talk about continuation. There are many things that need the emphasis of to be continued in our lives. And so we're going to look at some things in the Scriptures that need to be continued by you and me. I encourage you to turn to John chapter 8, because we're going to see, and I have a list here of about 7 things, but we are going to see that the first thing is abiding in the Word of Christ needs to be continued. Our abiding in the Word of Christ needs to be continued. And that word abide will pop up several times in the points, the names of these points. The word abide will pop up several times in some of our readings. And basically, the English word abide, that's translated from the in the Bible from the original, and the word that's often translated as continue are derivatives of the same word. Sometimes they are the same word. It just depends on how it might fit a little better in the context if it's translated as abide or as continue. There's a little variation sometimes, or a little difference, but basically you're talking about the same idea, certainly the same concept, if not the same word in the original of abide and continue. But something that we need to continue with, something we need to do on a continuous basis, is abiding in the Word of Jesus. If you look at John chapter 8, you will see early in the chapter, Jesus has a discussion beginning at about verse 13 with some of his critics. And they are accusing him of different things, and they are asking him hard questions because they don't believe in him and because they are opposed to him. And so there's this back and forth beginning at about verse 13 with Jesus, some of his critics, and they're basically saying, you know, you're not really true, you're not really legitimate, you're not the real deal. And Jesus then begins to deal with that and to address them. And as you move further into the text, let's pick up reading at about verse 25. John 8, verse 25. Then they said to him, again, these are the people who are questioning Jesus, Who are you? Because of some of the statements that he has made, you know, they're wondering, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. Then they did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, knowing their lack of understanding, when you lift up the Son of Man, talking about his crucifixion ultimately, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. As he spoke these words, now notice the transition that has gone from some who question him, many believed in him. They're beginning to see and understand. And so the next verse, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide or continue, as some translations say, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You see, what needs to be continued in our lives is abiding in his word. We need to continue in his word. We need to be sure that we are abiding, continuing, basically the same word, basically the same idea, in his word. If you would, turn to the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, because there are a couple of passages, one in each one of these letters to Timothy, that are very significant in helping us even cement this idea and drive this point home about what we need to abide in. Because as you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, you'll notice verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. And again, this is inspired counsel being given by the inspired apostle to a preacher and to a teacher. And he says to him, take heed. This is the last verse of 1 Timothy 4. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, you notice that he says, continue in them. Continue in what? The doctrine. Think of some of the doctrines that are taught in 1 Timothy alone. In 1 Timothy, you read about worship. You read about the role of women and the role of men and women. You read about the eldership. And you continue on reading about so many things in this book that we would consider doctrine. The word doctrine simply means teaching. And there's so many things that are taught in this book that Timothy is told, continue in this. And indirectly, the application to each and every one of us, we need to continue in these things. Continue in the doctrine. Why is that so significant? Because when we do that, we will save ourselves, and we will save those who hear us when we teach these doctrines. So there's a salvation element to this idea of continuing in the Word of God. We must continue in the doctrine. But not only is this emphasized to Timothy in 1 Timothy, in the second letter that we have, 2 Timothy chapter 3, it's emphasized again. And so when you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you read at verse 13, it tells us evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You see, there's the necessity to continue in the Word of God. Why? Because evil men and imposters will continue to wax, to increase, to be on the scene, and it's just going to get worse and worse. They're not going to go away. The situation of the opposition to Christianity and the opposition to God's holy work is not going to let up. It's not going to abate any time. In fact, sometimes it may get worse and worse. And so if that is the case, what's the solution? What's the response that I as a Christian have to that? I, as verse 14 says, continue in the things that I have learned. You know, there's something very important there. There's three or four important things said in verse 14 about this whole idea that I continue. And again, this first point is abiding in, continuing in the Word of God, continuing the things, what? That I have learned. Well, you know, that implies someone has taught me. That implies I have studied. But this is something I have learned. That takes some work on my part. This isn't just something that's handed to me like a slip of paper. This isn't just something that's a nothing exercise. I've got to put some effort into this. You know, if you're in school and you're going to have a test on something that you've learned, well, you've got to study. You've got to listen to the teacher. You've got to memorize and look at the text of whatever it is you're studying, whatever subject it may be. In this case, we're talking about the doctrines of the Word of God and continuing in the things that we have learned. And not only have we learned them, look at what it says. We are what? Assured of them. This is not theory. This is not fairy tale. This is something that is certain. We have not only learned these things, but we are assured of them. And then notice how it's reiterated one more time. Knowing from whom you have learned them. So there's learning, there's assurance, and there's knowledge. All that's packed right there into that one sentence. And we've got to continue in it. We must continue in the things that we have learned. We must continue in the things that we have been taught. We must continue in the things that we have studied. We must continue in the doctrine. Jesus says, continue in His Word, and we will be His disciples indeed. Learners, followers, indeed, absolutely, for certain, if we continue in His Word. You remember what James chapter 1 tells us? James chapter 1, verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. He who looks into the perfect law, the Word of God is what we're talking about here, into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in his deed. That's exactly what Jesus is saying in John 8, verse 31. That we continue in His Word. And when we do, we are His disciples indeed. And so, number one, what must be continued in our lives is abiding in the Word of God. Number two, we must abide in the love of Christ. We must, number one, continue to abide in the Word of Christ. But number two, we must continue to abide in the love of Christ. As we look at the Word of God, I would encourage you to turn to John chapter 15, verse 9. In John chapter 15, there's an extensive discussion there about the vine and the branches that Jesus brings up. And yet, I want you to see the significance of something that Jesus is talking about in John 15, particularly as we move down to verse 9, where He tells us to continue in His love. We're going to look at John 15. We're going to begin reading a little bit before our key verse, which is verse 9, but we're going to back up to verse 4. And as I said a few moments ago, that in the New Testament, the word abide and the word continue are often derivatives of the same word, same root word, and sometimes it's the same word, it's just translated in English, depending on the context a little bit. But you may sometimes also read the word abide in one translation, and if you have access to a different translation, it may have the word continue. They're interchangeable with one another in most instances. But I want you to notice in this text that we're about to read, as we're talking about things that need to be continued, things that we need to abide in, because abide and continue, basically the same idea. Notice how many times Jesus repeats the word abide, as it is in most of our English Bibles. You know, when you were growing up, perhaps you can remember when your parents repeated something to you for emphasis. You know, the Bible talks about sometimes we're dull of hearing. And sometimes with our parents, we were exceedingly dull of hearing. And sometimes we can remember our parents driving a point home to our very inattentive mind by repeating something over and over and over. On the flip side of that, Jesus repeats something here over and over and over to drive something home in a positive way. Sometimes we have things repeated to us, we have things emphasized to that because we've made a mistake or we've messed up. And so it's repeated to us, you know, how we could avoid that the next time. But Jesus here is kind of being a little proactive. Jesus is saying, there's something you need to do, and he's going to repeat it numerous times in our text that is a blessing to us and will help us to see the point that we're making here about abiding in, continuing in the love of Christ. Number one was the word of Christ, but number two is the love of Christ. Now I want you to notice, begin reading with me at verse 4 of John, Gospel of John, verse 15, abide in me. Now there's our key word, abide. Now I want you to notice this. Abide, that's one time, in me as I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides, there's the second time, in the vine, neither can you unless you abide, third time, in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides, it's number four, in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, that's five by my count, in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide, six, and my words abide, seven, in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. But my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide, that's eight, abide in my love. And keep reading into verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide, that's 9, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide, that's 10, in his love. Between verses 4 and 10, by my count, Jesus repeats the word abide or continue 10 times. Do you think Jesus had just exhausted his vocabulary and couldn't think of another word? Jesus is emphasizing this word deliberately. And over, he cascades the word out of his mouth. And in the span of just a few sentences says, abide, 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 continue, continue, continue. I think he's trying to tell us something. I think he's wanting us to take a point home with us. And if you look at our key verse in the text, we need to abide or continue in what? His love. In him. In the Father. In all the things that he has taught us by abiding in, continuing in, the great love that Christ has for us. As the Father, verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus knew that he needed to emphasize abiding in his love because it's possible to fall out of love. You can fall in love with someone, but you can also fall out of love with someone. You can love someone, but you can also stop loving someone. And spiritually speaking, that's disaster. In Revelation chapter 2, there is a letter written to the church at Ephesus. We have one letter written to the church at Ephesus that we call the book of Ephesians, but there's a second time that they were addressed. the first time by Paul in that book we call Ephesians, but the second time the Apostle John in Revelation 2 writes them a very brief letter of only 7 verses in our English Bibles. But I want you to notice that it tells us that it is possible to leave the love of Christ. We're talking about in the second point, abiding, continuing in the love of Christ. And the danger is leaving and discontinuing in the love of Christ. In Revelation chapter 2, we read, beginning at verse 1, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary." So many commendable things said about the Christians in Ephesus. So many tremendous things that they could not tolerate. They would not tolerate evil. That they had patience. That they worked. They labored for God. They were careful not to allow false teachers to spread their doctrine by testing them. They persevered. They had patience. They labored. They had not become weary. Verse 4, though, "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love." They were no longer abiding in the love of Christ. Oh, they had the doctrine down. They knew what the Word said, but it was void of love. They had grown cold in their love. They were still going through. They were just going through the motions. Their heart wasn't in it. Their love wasn't in it. They simply were just going through the motions, and they left their first love. Jesus is to be our first love. Many other things are competing for the love of Jesus. There's the love of the world. There's the love of man. There's the love of money. But Jesus must be our first love. And there's the danger of leaving the love of Jesus and no longer abiding in the love of Jesus. And that's why Jesus tells us in John 15, "Abide in my love." Notice the solution is given to us in this letter to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Verse 4 says they had left their first love, but verse 5 gives the solution here, the solution that would work for them, the solution that still will work for us if we find ourselves in that unfortunate state of mind, spiritually speaking, that we are cold and we're just going through the motions. Our heart is no longer in our commitment. It's just something we do to punch a clock or check off a box. Jesus says in verse 5 of Revelation 2, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. Else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." You notice what Jesus says here? He says the first key to abiding in the love of Christ, if we have left our first love, if we have no longer if we're no longer in that position of soul and mind and heart of loving Christ as our first love, and we're no longer abiding in His love, first thing we need to do is remember. Remember from where you are fallen. And then the text tells us to repent. Change of heart, change of mind, change of life, change of direction. I've been going the wrong way a long time. Now I've got to turn around and I've got to go the right way and remember my first love. And then he says, not only do you remember and you repent, you repeat. Do the first works. Repent and do the first works. Repeat what you were doing before. Because if you don't, there's another R in this text, and it's remove. Because if I don't, Jesus will remove me. So remember, repent, and repeat. Unless you be removed, abide in the love of Christ. Abide, continue in His love. Let Him always be your first love. So abide in, number one, the Word of Christ. Number two, abide in the love of Christ. And number three, abide in, continue in the grace of Christ. The grace of God, the grace of Christ. I want you to look at a text that reminds us of this in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas have been involved in a very extensive missionary trip. And they have taught the gospel to many different people. And the text tells us, as we look at it, about verse 42, that they have had an opportunity earlier in the text to preach and to teach in a synagogue. And as they have been preaching and teaching, you go all the way back up to about verse 13 and following, they're at Antioch in Pisidia. And in verse 42, after Paul has finished preaching and teaching, verse 42 says, "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that the words which they had preached should be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them," what? "To continue in the grace of God." Grace is God's love for us, in which He gives us that which we do not deserve. It is often defined simply as unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. And we see that these people who were listening to the gospel being preached, as they were hearing it, they were encouraged. And the text tells us Paul and Barnabas persuaded them, verse 43, persuaded them to what? Continue. Something we need to continue in. Continue, abide in, continue in the grace of God. I think that seems to imply something. That just like I can quit continuing in the Word of God, and just like I can quit continuing in the love of Christ, I can quit continuing in the grace of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, the Christians in Galatia are being rebuked there because they were trying to mix the old law of Moses with the new law of Christ, and they were forcing things out of the law of Moses on people who were becoming Christians. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, there's a little phrase there that summarizes all that up. Those people were told in Galatians 5, verse 4, "You have fallen from grace." It's possible to fall from grace. There are some circles in the religious landscape of our world today who say that that's not a possibility. But that's not what I read in the Bible. And the Bible says that you can fall from grace. If we couldn't fall from grace, why would these people have been encouraged to continue in it? If you can't fall from it, why do you have to be encouraged to stay in it? And Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 clearly says there were some people, because of their behavior and because of what they were teaching, had fallen. That's past tense. From grace. And so it is possible to fall from grace. So it is necessary that you and I continue in the grace of God. Just like these people were told in Antioch of Pisidia in Acts chapter 13, continue in the grace of God. They were persuaded to continue in the grace of God. You and I need to continue in the grace of God because it is possible to fall from the grace of God. If you would, look at Ephesians chapter 2 for just a moment, because it's very difficult to have a discussion about grace at all without at least referring to Ephesians chapter 2, that great chapter that tells us so many things about the grace of God. And as we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 says, God, who is rich in mercy, because with his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. It is not of, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Created in Christ. From it. Continuing it.